Chapter 6. An Unexpected Train Trip. The next day at school, Jordan's friends were excited. "Did you see the Rakia concert on the news, Jordan?" Bruce asked him. "You were right. The mystery guest was Ace."
"So, what did you see on your television set yesterday?"
"Don't ask," said Jordan sadly. "I saw the winning numbers on this evening's lottery and I rode to the shopping centre, but the shop assistant didn't let me buy a ticket."
"Oh no, that's terrible," said Bruce. "Well, don't forget to watch TV again today."
"This is incredible."
"Don't worry," said Jordan. "I won't forget. I can't wait."
Jordan arrived home from school and waited impatiently until 5:30. The next day's national news appeared on Channel 4. The newsreader was talking about a place called Bramley, and a picture of a block of flats appeared on the screen. There was a fire in the building, and firemen were extinguishing it. "In Bramley today, at precisely 12 noon, there was a gas explosion at a block of flats at 19 May Street," the newsreader said. "Nobody was hurt because the residents weren't in the building at the time. One of our reporters interviewed them. Now, over to Bill Winters in Bramley."
The news showed a reporter questioning a young woman.
"You're all very lucky," said the reporter. "At the time of the explosion, nobody was in the building. Why were you all outside?"
"Just a few minutes before the explosion, a young man entered the building shouting something about a gas leak," the woman explained. "Then he went to all the flats in the building and persuaded everybody to go outside. It's strange, but he knew about the explosion before it happened."
"Where is the young hero now?" asked the reporter.
"We don't know," answered the woman. "He's disappeared."
"Can you describe him to me?" asked the reporter. "He was about 16 or 17 years old, medium height and thin, with short fair hair," the woman answered.
Jordan was surprised. He was medium height and thin, and he had short fair hair.
Suddenly, he understood.
"I'm that young man," he thought. "I have to save those people. But how? I can't tell Mum and Dad about this. They'll never believe me. My only option is to go to Bramley myself and evacuate the block of flats by 12 noon tomorrow."
Jordan was nervous and excited at the same time. In his mind, he started to plan the following day. There were a few things to organise. He went to the telephone and called his friend Bruce.
"Bruce, listen," said Jordan.
"Could you please tell the teacher that I'm ill tomorrow? I have to go to Bramley."
"Bramley?" asked Bruce. "Why?
Did you see something about Bramley on TV?"
"Yes," answered Jordan. "I must go. I'll tell you about it later."
Jordan went upstairs to the computer to find the train timetable on the internet.
"I have to be there before 12, he said to himself.
He looked at the train timetable. Suddenly, he heard his father.
"Jordan," he called. "I'm home. Where are you?"
"I'm here,"
called Jordan from his bedroom. Jordan's father stood at the bottom of the stairs.
"What are you doing?" he asked. "I need your help."
"I'm coming, Dad," answered Jordan.
Later, at the dinner table,
Jordan's mother told him, "Don't take your bicycle to school tomorrow. I'm going to leave work early and take you and Danny shopping. There are some very low prices on boys' winter jackets at the shopping centre, and I want to buy jackets for both of you." Jordan didn't want to go shopping the next day. He wanted to be home at 5:30 to watch TV. Also, he didn't want to return to school after his visit to Bramley.
"That's okay," said Jordan. "You can take Danny shopping. I've got an important test in 2 days and I want to study."
"But tomorrow is the last day of the sale," said Mrs. Connolly.
"I can't go, Mum," insisted Jordan.
"Nonsense," said Mrs. Connolly. "We'll be home early. You can study all evening today and tomorrow evening too."
"Okay," said Jordan, unconvinced.